Alright, everyone, it's the Grimlore here, and I got a question. Are you guys ready for some degeneracy? Because it's the Grimlord's Hentai Corner, and we've got closed game. And this will have hentai. So you can go ahead and pick it up at Jast USA for about $30. But if you want the collector's edition, it's $150, and you can get that from J-List. So grab that. It's on pre-order right now. And if you're bitching at that price, then just remember that the Mistress Mamiya body pillow covers, the authentic Japanese ones, like what you're getting here, they cost $200. You can look them up. I'm not talking about the ones they sell all over China. I'm talking about the authentic Japanese, and you can see several of those because I looked them up today. They are $200 a pop, and that's authentic Japanese. So anything authentic Japanese like that is going to cost quite a bit of money, so you've got to be a diehard fan of it. But if you really want all the goodies that the Collector's Edition offers, yeah, it's $150. And it supports more Sei Shoujo works, which he's got plenty more. I mean, if you want lewdness, potential ability, sleepless, even cleavage, there's a possibility of getting cleavage with maybe some newly drawn scenes. They could do that. But you just gotta support the game and show Sei Shoujo that you want his work. Show Empress that you want their work. And they will definitely give us more. Because they are definitely looking forward to supporting this stuff here in the United States. So there you go. United States, of course USA, but I'm sure you can get it in the UK and Canada and other areas. I'm just saying, you know, Jast USA is the primary distributor for this, and J-List, of course. And you can also get yourself a nice spinning robot pussy if you enjoy the sex scenes very much and kind of want to experience that. You can grab one of those at spinningrobotpussy.com. They're a little expensive, but hey, you're getting a high quality product from a robotics engineer. Why not, right? Alright, so let's begin. We're going to head left. Things changed a little bit because I'm actually on the path. I did not have the correct patch that I was supposed to, and I got that from Jast, from their help desk. Make sure you pick that up if you do download the game. You know, you buy, download the game. It's just a little forum. It'll have all their little patches on there. You'll see the closed game patch. It'll also make it to where you don't hit the true end, which is actually where I was headed. I was gonna show you guys the true end and not even fucking know it. I was on the true end path. I didn't know it. So I'm not on the true end path anymore. I'm on the Cilicia path, and that's the one we're going to do completely on MGTOW.TV. Obviously, because I cannot show this on other platforms. So if you're not watching me on MGTOW.TV, you're not getting uncensored content. So please check out MGTOW.TV for all uncensored hentai content. Togo, guess I'll go this way. I decide to proceed down the left-hand path. As I walk, I realize my bracelet isn't displaying anything. Hang on, this thing isn't broken, is it? Walking through the abandoned ruins of the city fills me with a sense of unease. What in God's name is this place? And why are these strange broken machines littering the streets? Anyone could tell an advanced civilization had lived here once. These heaveners must have unfathomably advanced technology if they have no issue discarding stuff as incredible as this. They truly live in a world wholly different to ours. Although everyone already knows that on some level, it's another thing entirely to see the reality before my own eyes. Sure, heaveners and earthlings might ostensibly both be human, but the gap between our civilizations couldn't be any wider. It's hard to imagine such a massive gap life between life up here and down there came to be. Oh, whoa, hold on. It's hard to imagine how such a massive gap between life up here and down there came to be. My mind wanders as I contemplate things I have no power over. What kind of machine is this? It looks broken, but I've never seen anything like it. I can't make heads or tails of anything I see. Though the city is in ruins, it still gives me a peek into the lives of the heaveners here once lived. They had it better than we do on Earth. How can a civilization this astoundingly advanced go under? Or maybe it hadn't, and this entire city was demolished purely for the sake of the game. Common sense on Earth says that such an idea was ridiculous, but Earthling common sense clearly doesn't apply to Heaveners. Come to think of it, they said they would purge an area each day. So maybe tomorrow this place would just be totally gone. Through that lens, it seems reasonable that an entire city ruin might be created specifically for the game. If so, had all the Heaveners pitched in to help build it? Or was it just something, just Michiko and Celine had arranged? In the latter case, it only makes Michiko and Celine seem even more insane than they already are. Is it too much to ask for a change of scenery? I've been walking around for quite some time, but my surroundings still looked identical in all directions. The dry wind wears against my skin as the ruins continue on and on all around me. In the back of my mind, I wonder how big this area is. Is the safe zone really anywhere to be found in here? I can't quash my rising suspicion that I'm on a wild goose chase. Maybe I shouldn't have gone this way. If I'm gonna turn around, I should do it now. I hope a hint of some kind might come my way. Finding the safe zone in a place as vast as this is like looking for a needle in a haystack. All my bracelet indicates is that there isn't anything nearby. At this point, I'm beginning to doubt if I can actually trust it. Green means safe zone, but my bracelet's telling me nothing. I mean, couldn't they at least have arrows pointing towards the thing or something? Complaining would do me no good, but I can't stop myself. My resent towards Michiko and Celine for forcing me to play this damn game grows with every step I take. Let's sit down for a minute. By now, I've been walking so long, my feet are starting to hurt. The ruins are exhausting to traverse. Walking over the rubble is far more tiring than I anticipated. Phew, didn't expect this to be so damn tiring. I encourage myself by thinking that I'll surely get plenty of rest once I find the safe zone. On the other hand, if I can't find it, my life will be in jeopardy. Celine said that all we'd have to do is locate the safe zone, but she didn't elaborate on what would happen if we didn't find it. It seems entirely plausible that once the safe zone is found, the purge would commence, with everyone not inside left for dead. To prevent that, we'll need to work together as a team. Hope that I'll find someone to link up with soon. The first people that come to mind are Celicia and George. I hope they're okay. Have they fallen into some kind of trap? Have they been defeated by some kind of enemy? Imagining it makes me anxious, but I can't force that thought from my mind. Where are those two anyway? And can Lacey really manage on her own? Celicia and George can take care of themselves, but I'm generally concerned about Lacey. You know what? I don't have time to take a break now. In the end, I don't rest long before setting out again. I need to find the others soon. Once we've all found each other, we can start our search for the safe zone in earnest. I'm still anxious about this enemy we've been warned about, so I don't want to loiter for too long. Pant, 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 pant. I draw deep, laborious breaths as I continue walking through this ruined city. My fatigue keeps building and building, although it's not yet at the point where I can no longer continue. I hope that I might find someone before long. As long as I keep moving, wells up within me. The hope that I might find someone before long, as long as I keep moving, wells up within me. Anyone? Hello? Occasionally, I yell something to break the crushing silence. It's the least I can do without knowing if my bracelet is actually functioning or not. If I'm lucky, someone might hear me. Guys? Figures. It's so quiet that I begin to wonder if I'm actually completely alone in this place. The only thing I've heard has been the blowing wind. There hasn't been so much as an echo from anyone else. Perhaps Celine thought it'd be funny to send me to my doom all by my lonesome. What was that? I stop in place as my thoughts screech to a halt. I think I just heard something. Where did it come from? I look around my vicinity, keeping my ears pricked up. Just as I begin to suspect I'd only imagine it, I hear the sound again. Is it somebody's voice? Over there! Part of me is suddenly paranoid about approaching it, but I head towards the sound nonetheless. Just a few seconds later, my bracelet starts beeping. Well, why is it beeping all of a sudden? Its sudden activation sends a jolt of surprise through me. I glance at the display. On it are four blinking dots, two red and two blue. Guess it wasn't broken. These definitely colored dots mean two things. These differently colored dots mean two things. Red indicates an enemy. Blue, a fellow player. Hold on, are these dots moving? As I look more closely, I realize all four dots are moving towards the display center. The blue dots are ahead of the red dots, which follow closely behind. It seems that the two players are being chased. Jesus, what's happening? I hear it more clearly this time. It's unmistakably the voice of a woman screaming for help. It isn't Celicia's voice, for better or worse. Still, it's a voice I know I've heard before. So that's what's happening. I can understand what's going on now. In my mind's eye, I can already picture the scene I'll see in a few moments. Basically, whoa! Help! Somebody help! Please, I beg you! You, don't just stand there, help us! Lacey and Kokona, right? Two people come racing towards me. Lacey and another one of the women from the lobby, Kokona. In pursuit of them both are two strange people wearing suits that cover their whole body. Holy fuck, who are they? My bracelet beeps louder and louder. It sounds are akin to an alarm as they get closer to me. Shit, what do I do? As I panic, Lacey and Kokona dive behind my back. Before I realize what their intent is, they start pushing me from behind, as if using me as a shield between them and the oncoming suit-wearing people. Hey, cut that out! Who the fuck are these freaks? And why are they after us? I can't just stand around much longer. While I have no clue who these people are, they certainly don't seem very friendly. What do I do? Do I run or fight? It's clear that this is not a good situation to be in. Are those things even human? The two creatures wear full bodysuits of what looks like rubber with gas masks covering their faces. As my thoughts race, I suddenly hear more shouting. Stop right there, you fucking freaks! Suddenly, two people jump into the fray. It's Alicia and George. They come in from nowhere, shoving the suited men down before running over to us. Get the hell out of here, now! Holy shit, are you guys okay? We'll talk later, just run! Hey, please wait for me! Lagging slightly behind them is another familiar face. It takes a moment, but I recall that her name is Marielle. It's a relief to know she's okay, too. Over there! Who are these guys in bondage gear? Shut your pie hole and get a move on, goddammit! My friend's terrified expression springs my body into action. Seeing them kicks my instincts into gear. This is no time to chat. I have no idea who these strange gimps are or why they're chasing us, but it's clear that I need to avoid letting them catch me. Go! Go! Reunion celebrations are postponed as we run into some nearby ruins. From the sounds of things, the men in rubber suits are following not far behind. This way! Felicia points out an exit, a worn path that leads away from the building. I, Lacey, Kokona, and Marielle all dash through it as George covers our rear. Run! Run for your lives! George, are you okay? I ain't beaten up enough for you to worry about. I'll watch your asses. Just keep running and don't look back. Hearing his dependable voice at my back is reassuring. On a certain level, it makes sense that the sheriff, of all people, would keep us safe in times like these. In the turmoil of the chase, though, the thought doesn't even cross my mind. Through that building. Celicia guides us through building after building, almost as if she already knows where we're going. Though the men in rubber suits are still pursuing us, the terrain and obstacles have them tripping and stumbling with every step. It seems like it's difficult for them to keep up with us. Pant, George, are they still following us? Nah, looks like we lost them. Pant, gasp, oh god. All of the women besides Celicia seem to be exhausted. I can't blame them, though. Running for their lives like that must have driven them to their limits. At least for now, it seems that the men in rubber suits have stopped chasing us. When I check my bracelet, the red dots have disappeared from its display. They're not showing up on my bracelet, but what about yours, Togo? Same here. Nothing. And you, George? What he said. Alright, then let's make a turn at that building over there. After finishing her sentence, Alicia only starts running faster. It seems she doesn't intend on slowing down for anything or anyone. Everyone, myself included, desperately tries to keep up with her. Pant, 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 pant. I think we lost them. I'm too tired to run for even a second more. Just how long have we been running for? Only after passing through a few more buildings do we finally get the chance to catch our breath. Seems we managed to get away. Yeah, somehow. Who the hell were those guys? I wonder aloud about the men in rubber suits as I gasp for breath. They were covered from head to toe, making me unsure if they were even human. The way they had charged at us without the slightest hesitation had given them an unusual, intimidating aura. Jesus, if Celicia and George hadn't showed up then. It wouldn't have surprised me if I, Kokona, and Lacey had all died back there. That's how dangerous those men had seemed. What? You just went poof on us out of nowhere. Where the hell'd you go? Fuck if I know. There was nobody else when I got sent. Well, there was nobody else where I got sent. Nobody else? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw you with two other people. We met along the way. You just came along at the right time. Huh? Really? She squints suspiciously at me. I'm telling her the truth, but it seems she doubts me. On that note, what led you three joining up? I was just walking around when I found George and Marielle. I found Marielle being attacked by those freaks. Close call, that was. Meanwhile, Togo just stood there and almost let it happen. Christ. Hey now. I had to agree that it had been pathetic of me, but I'd been taken so aback that I don't think I could have done anything else. Besides, I couldn't have expected them to attack me right off the bat. So, are those guys enemies? I bet on it. They showed up as red dots, so they're probably our enemy. So that is what our opponents look like. Oh yeah, Lacey. Were you with Kokona this whole time? No, we just came across each other. Yep, and then those strange men came after us as we were walking around. Sounds like finding the safe zone isn't going to be so easy after all. Now I feel like I understand what the game's core rule truly is. We have to avoid the enemies while searching for the safe zone. Being captured by the enemy would mean our lives were forfeit. So what do we do now? Same as before. Look for the safe zone, dumbass. And we'll stick together as close as possible. So then we should start looking. We need to find it quickly, or else those men might find us first. Marielle's voice is filled with fear. I can't blame her for still being so scared, though. From the sounds of things, she'd actually been attacked by those men. Even I feel weirded out by them. If possible, I hope to never see them again. So now the question is, what do we do now? Now that everyone has calmed down a bit, he breaks the silence with a question. As glad as we are to have been reunited, we can't just stay here forever. We have to start searching for the safe zone soon. That means picking a direction and setting out. We can't just thoughtlessly stroll about the place. Not with those strange freaks on the prowl. Those men terrify me. I never want to see them again. But if we don't find the safe zone, we won't be safe from them. Standing around here won't do us any good, that's for sure. That much is stating the obvious. And this place with such dangerous enemies on patrol, we can't afford to spend too long planning. If our only haven is the safe zone, all we can do is try and find it. Pretty sure Celine said our bracelets would display the safe zone with the color green. So has anyone spotted anything green on their bracelet? I haven't. Me neither. I'm fairly sure I haven't. I don't believe I have. No, I didn't have time to look at it. So nobody's seen anything, huh? That gives us a clue as to just how large the stage truly is. That, or it's letting us know just how short the detection range of our bracelets is. We all got separated when they sent us here, right? Yeah, we did. If we were able to find each other again this quickly, we couldn't have been sent very far from each other. When it comes down to it, we have to search no matter what. But what if we are attacked again? Well, if that happens, the threat of the enemy still looms over us. Even their title, The Enemy, is enough to make it clear how dangerous they are. Our only chance is these bracelets. When they show red dots, that means danger is coming. But that alone won't... She looks nervous. That much is understandable. Merely knowing that the enemy is near doesn't give us any way to repel them. Because of that, these enemy-detecting bracelets aren't particularly reassuring. It's true. All these bracelets can do is tell us if there's danger on the horizon. But ain't that all we need? What do you mean? We know when things are gonna get dangerous, so all we gotta do is start running away whenever that happens. Look, y'all remember the rules, right? It's not our goal to fight those crazy gimps. The only thing we actually gotta do is locate the safe zone. These bracelets are all we need to get that done. He's right. His words are a relief to us all. Mariella especially seems to calm down. Ugh, good. She's almost as much of a pain in the ass as Rika. These bracelets are all we need. I internalized that phrase for encouragement. Ha, listen to you trying to sound cool. Maybe so, but I'm still more mature than you. He counters the remark with a grin on his face. Even in a situation as helpless as this, he always manages to come up with a way to raise everyone's spirits. He truly is a guy you can count on. Still, if those freaks do show up, I'll chase them off. George, are you really capable of that? Sure am. I ain't the sheriff for nothing, you know. Okay, but please don't do anything reckless, okay? It's a little bit redundant there. As reassuring as his presence was, I didn't want him to take the needless risk for our sake. Oh, by the way, I did catch that B. That extra B that wasn't supposed to be there. Yeah. Uh-oh. What is that? All of a sudden, a projection forms in the air. The person in it is, without a doubt, Celine. How confident you have become when just moments ago you were fleeing for your lives. Celine! To see you in such desperation was an absolute delight. Tears of joy roll from the corners of her eyes. It seems as though she really is watching everything we do. Oh yeah, she did mention that the game is being broadcast all over Kayla Mertz. The memory of her from earlier only serves to anger me. Celine, what the hell do you want from us? What do I want from you? What do you mean? Huh? I'm talking about this game, moron. You got some kind of fucking grudge against us or what? I would never harbor a grudge against you. Then why are we here? It's like, my, what are you saying? I am offering you a chance here, dear sister. A chance? What the fuck kind of chance is this? Have you forgotten already? I can make your wishes come true, dear sister. And you expect me to believe that? Celicia glares intently at Celine through the projection. Somehow it feels like the more we talk to this Celine, the less genuine she seems. You seem to dislike my present in spite of all the effort I spent on it. Truly unfortunate. I don't want your goddamn present. Ah, how deplorable. Now, may I ask what your next course of action shall be, my dear sister? Yeah! I'm gonna be putting my foot in your ass! That old Red Foreman! Unwilling to leak our plans to someone who clearly has it out for us, Celicia simply stays quiet, glaring at Celine the whole time. That said, Celine might already know anything we say out loud. We should probably assume that we can't keep any secrets from her, even if we talk in a well-hidden place. But then, doesn't that mean she can just freely give our location away to the enemy? I'm overwhelmed by this portent of ill omen for our future. It might be incorrect to assume that there's anything fair to begin with about this game. We may very well be locked into a battle that's rigged against us from the start. Even so, all we can hope to do is try to find a way to get ourselves out of this dangerous situation. You see, I was hoping to ask you to make more interesting decisions for us. More interesting decisions? As I told you before we started, the game is being broadcast all over, over all of Kayla Mertz. Ah, yes, she did say that. And our audience is really looking forward to watching you and your friends panic and struggle. Huh? Don't fuck around with me, you bitch! Her frustration has hit its breaking point. If Celine were here in front of her, she'd certainly have already punched her in the face, or putting that boot in her ass. I want to see that in the Celine ending. I want to see Celine putting her boot in fucking, not Celine, but I want to see Celicia putting her boot in Celine's ass. It's like, this is what I think of your fucking game, bitch. Boom! It's like, ah, oh, what was that for? You ain't seen nothing yet. Right hook, left hook, right hook. It's kind of, it's like, it's gonna be like the Euphoria scene where he beat the shit out of Nemo. Except it's gonna be justified this time. Don't worry too much. Regardless of whatever decisions you make, my task is to turn them into something exciting. And I can assure you I will. Celine grins broadly. She seems to be greatly enjoying herself, but what she finds so amusing, I have no idea. Oh, I know. In order to make matters more interesting, I could give you another present right now. Is it a pair of boots? Seriously, another fucking present? I've got a bad feeling about what this present could be. There's no conceivable way it'll be anything that helps us. So what's our present? She took the bait, hook, line, and sinker. Aha! Would you like to know, dear sister? You're curious, aren't you? Not really. Oh, so you wouldn't like to know what it is? Yeah, I don't give a rat's ass about it. But you seemed so interested just a moment ago, and it wouldn't hurt to be honest with yourself, you know. We do hope to react to the present as we hope, or else there won't be any pleasure in it for us. React as intended? Marielle is visibly frightened by Celine's words. She's not the only one, though. Every single one of us is on edge. Except for George, damn it! George! George? Look at this man. What do y'all have to be afraid of? You have George, certified badass, on your side. She can throw whatever the hell she wants at us. I'll keep y'all safe and sound. He's gonna put the boot in her ass. As long as the boot goes in her ass, I'm gonna be happy with the ending. Write the letter. Dear Seishoujo, why wasn't there a scene where there was a boot in her ass? He beats his chest proudly in an attempt to reassure us. He may have no idea what Celine has in store for us, but George's words of encouragement bolster our resolve. He's truly an exemplary sheriff. At a desperate moment like this, he knows exactly what we need to hear. Ha ha ha, that's it. That's exactly what I want to hear. Celine claps her hands, satisfied. It seems like George's encouragement was nothing more than an amusing gesture to her. That hopeful attitude is what adds flavor to the game. Our hope adds flavor. What does Celine find so damn exciting about it? I can't understand what goes on inside that crazy woman's head. Hell, I don't want to understand. Like the more hope you harbor, the stronger your despair will be. Oh, I cannot wait to see your expression of anguish, my dear sister. Just how fucked up are you? Oh dear, you won't survive very long if that is all it takes to make you say such things. For you see, the game has only just begun. She giggles to herself. It seems she relishes any chance to mock Celicia as she gets. The thought sends shivers down my spine. Is Link simply here to antagonize Celicia? I've got a feeling that's not the case. There must be some other reason as to why Celine is talking to us. What could that reason be, though? I think about what she just said. Apparently our hope adds flavor. The more hope we harbor, the stronger our despair will ultimately be. She wants to see Celestia's look of anguish. Is that what her ultimate goal truly is? Please, no. Whoops. Now then, I believe it's time to reveal my present to you. The projection of Celine winks at us all. Today you have the privilege of playing with one of my pets. Suddenly, all of our bracelets begin to sound an alarm. Only a moment later, something appears before us. Holy shit, look at that thing! I don't want to see that thing fuck anybody! I just gonna be real straight with you, say. I do not want to see that thing fuck anybody. I do not have an insect fetish, especially. God damn, look at that thing. What? For a few seconds, all we can do is stand there in amazement. Something that can only be described as a giant hornet leaves us all gaping in astonishment. She's right to kind of piss herself. The screaming only starts a moment later. Oh, wow! Yeah, bro, I'm with you. I see that motherfucker, I'm running as fast as I can. What the fuck is that? Holy fuck, what the hell is this shit? Not even Celestia nor George are able to keep their cool. None of us could have predicted that this is what Celine's present would be. I'm gonna die. You might, brother. That thought fills the entirety of my mind. I'm sure that regardless of whatever I do, I will not survive this encounter. This creature is clearly unlike any insect found on Earth. It looks like something pulled straight from a horror flick. It's time to prove your worth, everyone. How will you get out of this precarious situation, I wonder? I'm not gonna mimic that thing. We're just gonna let it do its thing. All I know is I don't want to see it fuck anybody. That might be my limit, of seeing that insect fuck people. And at that moment, the hornet-like creature finally swoops down at us. Everyone but me scatters in different directions like a frightened herd of animals. That thing is gonna kill us, there's no doubt about it. If we stay here, it's gonna kill us all. Holy shit, what do I do? Unlike the rest, I'm so paralyzed with fear that my legs are frozen in place. Run! The enormous hornet chooses me as its target, makes a beeline towards me. Okay, nice little pun there. Oh fuck, this is the end for me. My mind is instantly flooded with memories of the past. Is this what they refer to as your life flashing before your eyes? God damn it, you idiot! I see Celestia come running towards me. For some reason, I feel myself respond by smiling awkwardly, and then... Oof! George! You gotta run! For some reason, George's whole body jolts, and then the upper half of his body separates from the lower, sliding away from the other part like a sliced block of ice. Damn! Yeah, we gotta get a rip in the comment sections. Gotta get an F! I gotta get some Fs for George! Give me some Fs, folks! Fucking badass, and he died like that. Come on now. Fucking sliced by that overgrown Scyther's fucking claws. A real man died. What's all mourning? Okay. What? Each half continues to move apart, almost as if in slow motion, until they both fall to the ground. I can't process what just happened in front of me. What God's name just happened? In mere moments, a good friend of mine had been reduced to two lifeless lumps of flesh. My brain floods itself with chemicals in an attempt to cushion that revelation. My limbs begin to tremble, goosebumps prick up all over my skin, and my heart rate skyrockets, causing my throat to constrict so tightly that I struggle for breath. Ah! Ah! Oh my God! Copious amount of blood start to gush from the top and bottom parts of George's body like a burst pipe. George! George! He doesn't respond at all when I call his name. His body simply lays there like a broken doll as his blood pours out. We should be running for dear life, but the gruesome sight is everyone frozen dead in their tracks. I learned from this moment that in the face of sheer unadulterated fear, humans become unable to act or move. The otherworldly hornet-like insect grabs hold of just the upper half of George's body before flying away. George? I call his name over and over, but there's no response. That's when I realize this is all just a dream. Yes, this is all clearly just some terrible nightmare. For someone who spoke with such grandeur, he certainly died very quickly. Something is seriously wrong with her if she can laugh so heartily at a time like this. She's a true bitch, folks. So what will you do now, my dear sister? Perhaps you intend on ending up much like those fleshy remnants of your companion. Celine! Do you have any motherfucking idea of what you've done? Spare me your cursing. Besides, you don't have time for that right now, do you? Sooner we'll be back to slice you in half as well. Don't you think you should start running now, before that happens? Ah! Oh, well, we got it. Celine is probably right. We should probably run off somewhere before that insect comes back. Fuck! We gotta get out of here, Togo! Oh, God. Togo, don't just stand there, run! In the end, she has to drag me away from that place. Soon enough, the rest of the group comes running behind her. It's finally begun, dear sister. We can hardly wait to see how you will amuse us. I'm not sure how long we've been running. We ran, heedless of our fatigue from before, not daring to stop until we find another place to stop and catch our breaths. We ran and ran and ran. We can't afford to look back for so much as a moment. There isn't any sign of that monstrosity pursuing us, but we don't know how long it will be, how long we'll be safe if we stop now. Marielle and Coconut seem quite shaken, as they should be. It's only natural, of course. After all, someone had been killed right before their very eyes in such a grotesque way. Nobody could stay calm after a sight like that. Lacey hasn't said a word. Her face is as white as a sheet as she trembles. The fuck happened? What the fuck was that? Celicia shouts angrily. Her resentment towards Celine and her dread from George's murder have caused her to lose control over her emotions. Of course, I feel the same way as her. Oh God, George! I still can't believe it. He'd been alive one moment, then so inhumanly butchered the next. How could I believe something crazy like that? Hell, how could anyone believe it? Nobody could have imagined that George would die in such a way. Especially not when just a few hours ago we had all still been down on Earth. Fuck. Fuck! Fuck! She stomps the ground over and over. Maybe it's the only way she can think of to vent her anger. Anger is a natural response here. We've known George for such a long time, after all. Sure, he nagged at us from time to time, but nevertheless, he was a kind man who looked out for us. He truly cared about Celicia and me. Even I couldn't help but warm up to him a little bit. I know at the very least I could trust him. Even now, he was no longer with us. Fuck. Her stomping ceases, replaced now by quiet sobs. Throwing a fit won't solve anything. Celicia herself likely knows that better than anyone else. We don't have much time. We have to start planning our next move. I don't think that thing is after us. Since our bracelets aren't sounding an alarm, it probably isn't somewhere nearby. Or so I think. That's what I'm hoping. At this point, I've honestly forgotten what it means to be safe. Hell, it's not even clear to what degree we can trust our bracelets. If we just assume we're safe when our bracelets aren't beeping, who knows what traps we might cluelessly wander into. We're all devastated about George's passing, but this is not the time to lament his death. What do we do now? What do we do? All we can do is run even further away. Celine's monster is still out for our asses. I doubt we've seen the last of it. That's true. But please, let's get out of here right now. With tears in her eyes, she urges us to get moving again. Should we all start running? Yeah, let's do that. Hold on a moment, don't we also have the option to split up into two groups? Split up? She replies like she can't believe what I'm suggesting. Naturally, we feel safer sticking together, but trying to run away as one big group presents its own hurdles. Look, if we stick together, there's a high chance of us all being wiped out at once, you know? If instead we split up here, it'll lower our risk of being attacked and raise our chances of survival. So then, should we split up instead? So you mean at least one team's chance of surviving will increase, I assume. But what if that insect comes after us? That's true. The fewer of us in each group, the more likely it is that an individual will be targeted, should that group be pursued. Even so, that might be our best chance to avoid us all being eliminated. If we want to avoid all being killed together, I figure the best strategy is for each of us to go alone. Let's not go that far. Celicia's proposition frightens every single one of us. While some of us might survive if we go alone, it'll mean that anyone who does run into that insect will be dead for sure. That's before we can even take into account the men in the rubber suits. And sure, going alone is far too risky. I would much rather stay with all of you. Same here. What matters is that we don't let that creature find us again. What do you think, Celicia? I think we should split up into two groups. I don't want us to all wind up dead, whether it's me or Togo. At least one of us needs to make it to Celine. I see. In the end, it's your call what we'll do. Making big decisions like this isn't really my strong point. You make it sound like it's mine. I'm not confident in my decision-making abilities either. It's not like I have any idea which decision is ultimately the better one. I'm also leaving it up to you. Let's all stick together. I think we should at least try to avoid all being eliminated. With George gone, it seems I've ended up with the final say in this matter. There's a lot of pressure on me to make the right decision. I have to decide on what I think is best. Okay, now, according to what I've got here, guys, I am supposed to... Uh-oh, hold on. That's not what I wanted to do. Okay, cool. Oh, it does let you go back. Now that is fucking great. Oh, no, no, no. Okay, it didn't make a choice. All right. So we'll do a new save. All right. I'm supposed to stick together. So I'm about a quarter of the way. It's a lot more. There's 5 save slots, and I'm on 2 of 5 save slots. I don't know how long it's going to be, but we'll see. This is a fairly long visual novel. Just for you guys' reference, there's Celicia's End, there's Marielle's End, there's Celine's End, there's Michiko's End, there's Lacey's End, and Kokona, and the True End. So there's a lot of paths that one can take in this game. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot to explore. It's not just one ending. So even if I show you this Celicia End, which is the, you know, first end of the game, there's still so much more to explore and resolve in the game. So keep that in mind. Alright, I say we all stick together. I make myself loud and clear as I look over everyone. After some deliberation, that's my final answer. There is the risk that we'll all be caught in one fell swoop, but I predict there will be some predicaments we'll only be able to escape as one unified group. Moreover, if we split up, it'll create problems if the two parties can no longer locate each other. Yeah, that's probably the way to go. Normally, Celicia probably wouldn't have had some argument against me, but instead she readily agrees. George's death must be weighing heavily on her. She likely doesn't have the energy to argue for what she initially suggested. Why did this have to happen? What that creature did, I can't believe it. Marielle and Kokona must mutter to themselves with tears in their eyes. Even though I've decided we'll go together, they don't seem to have high hopes for our immediate future. Honestly, neither do I. The stress and grief of losing George like that is taking its toll on all of us. Maybe we should discuss what to do next. Huh? Yeah, we should. Maybe we should let you decide what we do from here on out. How does that sound? That's not exactly what I had in mind. But if it makes it easier for everyone else, I'll do the best I can. That should do for the time being, then. She's managed to keep it together better far than I expected. Well, you know. Maybe she has thicker skin than I give her credit for. Come to think of it, it must take an iron composure to sing in front of so many people. I don't think this place is safe, so we could start moving now. We'll start moving once everyone's had a bit more time to rest. I know it's dangerous to stay here, but setting out while we're still so emotionally afflicted will be even more dangerous. Celicia in particular is so deeply shocked that she's simply standing still, staring vacantly into the ground. I know it's tough for you, Celicia, but you need to pull yourself together. Huh? Oh, I'm fine. Don't worry. There'll be time to rest once we get to the safe zone. Until then, we have to save our grieving over George for later. You're right. We have to put it off for now. She says that, but her expression clearly shows that George is still on her mind. Of course he would be, though. It's impossible to set aside your feelings so quickly after losing such a close friend. As cruel as it is to Celicia, we have to get moving soon, even if she's still this distraught. If we aren't leaving right away, could I ask a question? Sure, what? It seemed like that woman, Celine, knew you and Celicia already. Well, you see... As much as I'd like to avoid talking about it, I can hardly claim that we're strangers when Selene had been calling Celicia dear sister. That said, it's probably better to tell her as little as possible, or else Lacey might start distrusting Celicia. Selene is Celicia's younger twin sister. I assume that was the case. However, they were separated when they were young. Celicia was adopted by Heaveners. Selene was adopted by Heaveners. They hadn't had any contact whatsoever after that until now. It had been so long that Celicia and I were starting to wonder if she was alright. So prior to this point, you hadn't heard anything else from her? Or anything from her, rather. Not so much as a word since she was adopted. In fact, until today, I didn't even know whether she was still alive or not. And after the way she behaved, frankly, I'm still shocked. I don't have any idea what's gotten into her. Wrong. Huh? That psycho is not Celine. There's no way in hell that crazy bitch is Celine. I don't know, folks. I'm wanting to say she is Celine. I mean, unfortunately, it seems like the Heavener lifestyle may have corrupted her a little bit. Yeah, she can't be. Celicia's gaze remains glued to the ground as she denies the possibility that that woman could be Celine. To be honest, Celine is so different from what I remember that I can't tell whether it's really her or just an imposter. But I, too, don't want to believe that she's the real Celine. Anyway, that's their relationship. I see. Thanks. As if understanding this is a topic she shouldn't delve too deep into, she simply nods and thanks me. Thankfully, she doesn't seem to be particularly suspicious of us. She doesn't look like she has any doubts about our past. Now, when we do leave, where do we go? Toward the safe zone, I guess. Walking in random directions would just... Walking in random directions would just waste time. More importantly, it's really dangerous. It would be nice if we knew even the general direction to go. This thing seems to be our last ray of hope. She looks down at her bracelet. We can't expect much from our bracelets, but relying on them is the only choice at this point. If we keep walking, a green dot might eventually show up on our bracelets. Once we see green, we might be able to make a mad dash straight for the safe zone. The premise for that, however, is to place our faith in what Celine has told us. Do you believe that the safe zone really exists? Huh? Her abrupt question is straight to the point. What if it doesn't, and it's just a lie meant to get our hopes up? Well, I don't want to contradict her and say that it's not motivational. We need to cling to any hope we have. Saying that the safe zone doesn't exist would definitely plunge us into despair. Besides, considering Celine's actions so far, it's easy to believe that the safe zone does exist. Either way, we can hardly just sit here forever. I don't know how much of what Celine's told us is true, but all we can do is look for the safe zone. I mean, if we don't manage to find it. Those men in rubber suits will attack us. Or we'll become insect food. Lacey's words make Celicia tremble. Normally, Celicia would jump into the conversation at hand, but it seems she's still not ready for that. Didn't she say only one of us needs to make it to the safe zone? And that the moment somebody reaches it, the game ends for the day? Could that mean even people outside the safe zone will be safe then? Safe? In what way? Like, maybe it'll make those men in rubber suits and that scary insect go away? Oh, I see. It's possible that that is indeed what Celine meant. After all, the game is going to last several days, and as a rule... Hold on. A rule as generous as that makes sense. Otherwise, we'll probably all be dead before the second day starts. While it seems like we're playing into her hands, but we're only playing into her hands this way, we have no choice but to go along with it. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about the safe zone until now, but if we want to raise our chances of finding it, splitting up would be a good idea. What? If we don't find a safe zone, that monster's going to keep chasing us. So if we do split up, won't our chances of survival increase in the end? Yeah, it might turn out that way. But let's not. If you leave me to wander alone in this place, I'm gonna die for certain. Actually, this is the best way to ensure nobody dies. I can't do it. No way. No how will I be able to find the safe zone all on my own. Well, in that case, it would be easier to find the safe zone if we split up, but I can't bring myself to send Marielle off on her own when she's clearly this terrified. Unless we pair her up with at least one other person, we're probably just dooming her to die alone. I'll go with you, Marielle. The rest of you form another group and search together. We'll head in opposite directions from each other in search of the safe zone. Hold on a minute. Hold on a moment. Why are you and I going in separate groups? Well, this isn't an easy favor to ask, but I want you to use your skills to keep the others safe. As much as I dislike how you decided to become a bounty hunter, your talents are something we can count on in this situation. Please, you're the only person here who can take care of them. What the hell, man? While she seems disgruntled by the idea, she doesn't flat out refuse to do it. Maybe she understands that I'm putting my faith in her. You two okay with that? No objections here. What she said, I'm letting you decide. Lacey and Kokona are on board with my plan. Thank goodness. Given the crappy situation we're in, it's a relief that the discussion went as smoothly as it did. You fine with that, Marielle? Yes, thank you so much. Okay. She sobs loudly as she thanks me. All I can think of is how helpless she would have been on her own. But once we find the safe zone, what do we do after that? Pardon? Out of nowhere, Kokona asked a nonsensical question. Won't the game come to an end once we find the safe zone? Maybe it will, but then what will happen to the people who don't find it? Maybe they'll be transported to the safe zone. Or is that just wishful thinking? Or will the enemies remain and everyone has to reach the safe zone on their own? Considering the type of person Celine is, that sounds the most likely to me. If so, once we've found the safe zone, how are the people who haven't found it yet gonna know? It would be nice if they'd announce a discovery to us, but I doubt Celine would be that generous. You're right. Kokona raises several good questions. I'd assume we would be safe for the day once we find the safe zone, but nobody knows what'll really happen. After all, Celine hasn't told us anything about that. In other words, there's no way around the fact that we need to split into two groups to find the safe zone, but we also need a plan for what to do after we found it. We do need a plan, but what should our plan be in that case? The worst case scenario would be if one team finds the safe zone, but the other has no way of knowing that. Should that happen, the team that finds it needs a method to signal their discovery to the other team. Yeah, but we don't exactly have anything to signal with. We don't have any kind of radios or anything similar at our disposal. And if we can't even tell where the other team is, how are we supposed to signal that we found the safe zone? Maybe we could use smoke signals? We've got nothing to start a fire with. Wish I had my guns, then I could fire a shot from a tall building or something. A tall building. That might just work. Some kind of signal from a high place is the best we can manage with what we have. Our only problem with such a signal is that the enemy might see it as well if we aren't careful. Well, hopefully the enemy just disappears once we find the safe zone. I don't think we should count on that happening. We don't know if it will, or if the safe zone is even actually safe. Celine described it as a safe place, but I wouldn't take her word for it. What if she wants us to think it's safe, but then she sends enemies there to attack us? Well, that's true. Her own speculation is so frightening that her face turns pale. The notion of the safe zone not being safe in the slightest is, of course, terrifyingly demoralizing. With Celine as obviously unstable as she is, there's no guarantee that she won't pull something like that. Speculation won't get us anywhere, that's for sure. At the very least, we should decide on a way of telling the other team that we found the safe zone. We should. But how will we convey that? Celicia's plan of signaling from a tall place sounds like a good start. The question is, how will we signal each other? Anyone got any ideas? Nothing has occurred to me yet, so I asked the others to pitch in their ideas. We can only use what we have on hand to signal the discovery of the safe zone. Those gimps might catch wind of where we are if our signal's too obvious. Yeah, that's another problem. How about we don't use a signal and instead we rendezvous somewhere? Rendezvous? You know, we could decide on a place to meet up after a certain amount of time spent searching has passed. That way we can exchange information to decide together on where to search next if we still haven't found the safe zone yet. Now if one team gets taken out, the other team's gonna end up waiting there forever. If that happens, none of us will be getting out of here. Yeah, that's why I didn't consider it any further. A place to meet. Still, given our circumstances, it seems like the best option. It's far less likely that we'll be discovered by the enemy while hiding at an agreed-upon place as opposed to making some signal. By meeting and exchanging information periodically, it'll make it easier to find the safe zone, too. From the looks on everyone's faces, we all seem to be on board with this idea. Perhaps a tall structure would be a good meeting spot? A place out of sight would be the best, I think. But what matters most is that it's easy for us to find and remember. Yeah, it would be pretty bad if we wound up waiting at the wrong place. These are city ruins we're talking about, after all. There can't be too many landmarks for us to choose from. In that case, let's see, places within our line of sight that we could use. I look around and catch sight of a particularly tall building. It's very clearly the tallest structure in the visible area. Alright, let's use that building over there as our rendezvous point. Since it's so tall, we'll have no problem finding it, and we'll probably be safe hiding inside of it as well. Oh, I see. Got it. Celicia spots the building I pointed to and acknowledges it with a nod. You should probably be able to see it in the back there. It's a pretty crude plan, but it'll have to do since we don't have any radios or the like. All we can do is hope for the best and play with the cards we've been dealt. We have a pretty decent plan now, at least. Wait, there's one more thing I think we should figure out. What would that be? What should we do if one team arrives at the meeting place, but the other team hasn't? If that happens, the surviving team will need to decide on their own what to do next, I suppose. I had a feeling it would come to that. Well, there's not much else to do at that point. I'm not happy about it, but it's a decision we'll have to make in the worst case scenario. If one team doesn't show up, no matter how long the other waits, then it'll be up to either my or Salacia's judgment on what to do next. Alright, we've decided on all we need to, so let's get going. Sure. Togo, don't you die on me, you hear? Same to you, and keep them safe, alright? I look over to Lacey and Kokona. As nervous as they seem, they're resolved to get out the... set out together with us, in spite of it seems impresses me more. It's reassuring that they don't seem like the kinds of people that would freeze up under pressure. You watch yourselves out there. I will! Likewise, take care. I'm still in disbelief that someone I'm such a big fan of would ever be concerned about me. As dangerous as our situation is, hearing her say that still cheers me up. Ready to go, Marielle. Togo, please watch over me. She's already on the brink of tears. Has fate itself destined me to go together with her? I don't dare say that out loud, but I can't help but entertain that notion in the back of my mind. These city ruins just go on forever. At least that bloodthirsty bug doesn't seem to be after us, though. This desolate city is entirely devoid of people, much less giant insects. Now that I'm walking through it again, I'm astonished once more by its massive size. Was this stage created specifically as a backdrop for the game? Do Heaveners really have nothing better to do? Marielle hasn't said much as a word, okay. She didn't seem talkative in the first place, but she has been extremely wary of our surroundings. I get the impression that she's still terrified beyond belief and understandably paranoid as a result. My bracelet's not picking up anything. It's been quite some time since we started searching again, but our bracelets still haven't detected anything at all. Seriously, does a safe zone really even exist? Even though we're doing exactly what the game is asking of us, I don't know how much hope I have that it'll treat us fairly. Maybe its only goal is to send us into despair and there's no such thing as a safe zone. Maybe we're just targets for the enemy to chase around until we've all been eliminated. Without a conversation to keep my mind occupied, it gets flooded with depressing thoughts like these. I mean, no way it's broken, right? What if it can detect enemies just fine, but can't detect a safe zone? That sounds too convenient to be a mere coincidence. It's less likely that you could call it a malfunction, and more likely that Selena had intentionally designed it that way. If she's going to go that far, though, it's far more likely that there's no safe zone to begin with. We have to go slightly uphill from here. Are you able to keep going, Marielle? Well, how long do we need to walk for? I'm not really sure, but I think we should keep moving until we need to take a break. Or are you tired already? No, not at all. Looking closer, I notice she's panting for her breath. She's about as tired as I'd expect after walking for so long. It's just that she's been falling behind me, so it doesn't occur to me to check up on her until now. I'm sorry. You should have told me sooner. No, I'm sorry. I'm burdening you by being so... Stop thinking that you're a burden. You're not. We're in this together, so just tell me if you need a break. It's like, I will. I'm sorry. She lowers her head in apology. While I didn't expect her to rest so soon, it's not as if she can simply power through her fatigue with sheer willpower. This isn't like our usual lives either, where I might just tell her to work on her stamina. We're in a crisis situation right now, so all I can do is adjust to her pace while we search. So should we sit down over there and rest for a bit? No, I mean it. I'm fine. I can keep going just a little longer. Well, okay. If she insists, I won't dispute it. As concerned as I am about her, I resume walking with Marielle behind me. I'm really sorry, Togo. I'm sure you could go much further on your own. This isn't a competition, you know. It'd be better if we slow down anyway. That way, if the enemy finds us, we'll still have energy to run away. Okay, she seems to be in low spirits. I shouldn't feel as though that aspect is my responsibility, and yet. How are you feeling, like physically and mentally? I can't figure out how to phrase my words properly, so that's what I end up blurting out. At this stage, I totally understand if she's not able to remain calm. After all, it still hasn't been that long since George died. I can't help but think Marielle is doing really well if she's able to accompany me on our search. Togo, do you wish you could have gone with Celicia instead? What do you mean? Well, unless I'm mistaken, aren't you in love with each other? Huh? No. This is the first time anyone's ever said that. I refute it with everything I have. Me and Celicia in love with each other? The idea that anybody might get that impression from us leaves me simply astonished. We're childhood friends, basically, after we met in an orphanage. Sure, we enjoy each other's company, but... Oh, so that's how it is. If I had to describe our relationship, we're like brother and sister, I guess. I got that, too. If I know I shouldn't be... I shouldn't be embarrassed about this, but the emotion I'm feeling is exactly that. Celicia would probably feel the same way in my position. I can see her face turning red with anger if someone were to mistake us two for lovers. Outside of this whole situation, I'm a mechanic, and Celicia is a bounty hunter. Celicia is a bounty hunter? Yep, it's a dangerous job that I wish she'd quit, though. With her attitude toward danger, I'm worried she'll end up getting badly hurt one day. Some part of me still wishes that she'd chosen a safer job rather than lead a life fraught with danger. At the same time, the only reason I can feel confident in trusting Lacey and Coconut to her right now is precisely because she is an experienced bounty hunter. It's as they say, you never know in life when certain skills may come in handy. I understand. My body is rather delicate, so I can't help but envy people like Celicia. She has a rather bleak smile on her face. Mind if I ask you something? Yes, what is it? Though this is hardly a moment for respite, I can't help but ask Marielle a question. As rude as it may be to barrage a woman with questions, I feel as though it's important we get to know each other. So, they transported you here from down on Earth, right? That's correct. Then I woke up in one of those white rooms. Same as us, then. What was your life like down on Earth? My life? Well, a lot of hospital rooms. The hospital? Are you a nurse, a doctor, or maybe a scientist? Her answer takes me off guard. I raise an eyebrow in surprise. Oh no, not like that. I was being cared for as a patient. Patient? Are you sick? Yes, I'm only able to leave the hospital about 2 or 3 times a year. My life was limited to taking my medicine and staring at the outside world through a window next to my hospital bed. I see. Since she's so pale, I had figured she had a sheltered life, but still, that's a tough life she's had. Which is why I'm so weak and why I'm slowing you down, I'm sorry. Well, that's not really your fault. After hearing her tragic history, that's the only response I can give. She's not at fault. She can't do anything about her illness. While I'm curious as to what specific disease she has, I'm hesitant to ask too directly about it. I don't know what illness you have, but do you have to take medicine for it regularly? Yes, I have to take it every day. Every day, huh? But it looks like she doesn't have any of it with her, not after getting transported up here. You don't have your medicine with you, though. Would that be a problem for now? Oh no, I had my 6 daily medicines along with my breakfast before I woke up here. You take 6 different medicines? Jesus, what happens if you go for too long without them? Let's see. Without them, my blood pressure rises. It becomes hard to breathe. My legs start convulsing when it makes it impossible to stand. I start coughing up blood, and I become prone to fainting. Good God. Listen, if any of that happens, please let me know. I'll adjust to your needs. Thank you, and I'll try to do the best I can. She seems relieved to hear me say that. Still, though, she seems nervous deep down. More than I ever get the feeling that if I were to abandon her, she wouldn't survive long. But if you were bedridden, why'd you end up here? I'm not sure either. I was just laying in my hospital bed, and then I woke up in that white room. At first, I sincerely thought I had died. I see. From Mario's story, it seems that she doesn't know why she's been taken here either. Hell, even I didn't know what was going on at first. After the explosion in the restaurant, my first thought after waking up in that weird room had also been that I'd died. Some part of me wonders if that would have been a better fate than this. Because honestly, this game seems like a crueler fate than death. Marielle! I suddenly hear a screaming behind me, so I quickly turn around. Has an enemy showed up? My bracelet isn't beeping. Or maybe something else. Ow! Well, what's the matter? One of Marielle's feet is plunged into a crevice within the rubble. The crevice looks pretty deep. Marielle's leg is buried up to her knee. I'm sorry! It's okay, don't panic. I grab hold of her and help pull her out of the debris. Luckily, it looks as though it had slid into there relatively smoothly. She hasn't injured herself. Don't you think we rest for a bit now? Sorry, I suppose we should take a... Before she can even finish speaking, our bracelets scream out in alarm. We check our displays, which show 3 red dots. The enemy's coming. She's so startled by the sudden alarm that she collapses onto her bottom. We can't afford to wait, though. I help her back to her feet and hurriedly scan our surroundings. The beeping steadily gets quicker. Can't the enemy hear it too? They can, and you can't. Even turn the alarm off yourself. Hold on, they can, and you can't even turn the alarm off yourself. The least we can do is... Marielle, cover the bracelet with your hand to muffle the noise. Okay, I'll cover it. She's already in tears. She must be terrified out of her mind. I wish I could do something to help calm her down, but there's simply no time for that right now. We cover our bracelets with our hands and hide ourselves behind some nearby cover. The beeping of our bracelets is getting even more rapid. The enemy will be on us before long. I check our surroundings again, slowly peeking out from our hiding spot to see. The enemy's over there. After whispering to Marielle, I swallow hard. Just a short distance away from us, there are 3 people in bizarre apparel. More specifically, they're dressed in what appears to be full-body rubber suits. And there's a woman there, too, now. While I assume they're people, after witnessing the amazing feats they're capable of, I can't say that for certain anymore. Totogo, what is the matter? Be quiet, those gimps are there. Gimps? She nervously peeks out again. The moment she sees the people in the rubber suits, she dives back into hiding out of fear. Although the suits cover the entirety of their bodies, their genders are still distinguishable. 2 of them are men, and the 3rd is a woman. It seems like they're looking for us. 3 of them. I doubt I can fight them and win, especially since Marielle won't be much of assistance. Won't be of much assistance, but you get the idea. Maybe if I had a weapon of some kind, I could even the odds. Even so, I prefer not to drive them off over simply remaining unnoticed until they leave. So he's doing like a Metal Gear thing. He's just gonna sneak around. Pardon. What should we do? Just stay quiet for now. Hopefully they'll just go somewhere else. The big question is if whether they know where... Hold on. The big question is if whether they know where we are or not. If they actually had detectors similar to our bracelets, then they surely would have already found us here. If they do find us, we'll have no choice but to run for our lives. I take another quick look at them. They're slowly making their way towards us. Is it just random chance or they already know where we're hiding? Either way, we have to decide whether to hide or run. Togo, wouldn't it be best if we ran away? If we're not careful, they might find us. Let's wait and see a bit, just a bit longer. But they'll find us if we just stay here. She's shaking like a leaf. At this rate, her fear will spill over soon and get us noted. What do we do? How do we evade capture? If we're gonna run away, we better do it soon. I can't decide what to do. I don't know enough about these gimps to say for sure if we can actually outrun them if they spot us. Taking care to remain unnoticed, I sneak another look at them to see what they're doing now. This time I notice they're meticulously inspecting any potential hiding spot they can. It seems they don't know our exact location. Since they haven't found us yet... Well, what, Togo? They might just leave before they find us, so let's stay put for now. Once they've gone far enough, we'll run in the opposite direction from them. Alright. With her hands still covering her mouth, she gives me a nod. She's clearly feeling very nervous. If we'd left her on her own, she certainly would have been discovered in this situation. I keep peeping out from behind our cover, keeping track of where the gimps are going. Luckily, our bracelets have stopped beeping with them this close. It seems that we'll actually escape notice at this rate. If we just stay hidden. The gimps are slowly but surely coming closer. However, they're not headed straight for us. On their current course, they're passed right by our hiding place. Still, though, it comes dangerously close to where we are. If we're unlikely enough to be spotted, I have no idea if we can escape them in time. Now that they're closer, the abnormality of their appearance becomes clearer and clearer. While their physique makes their gender clear, I can't even begin to imagine how they look underneath their masked suits. I'm not even sure they're human to begin with. Maybe they aren't normal human beings. It's not that far-fetched of an idea. In fact, those suits might be specifically to fool us into thinking they're humans like us. Selene had called that alien insect her pet. It's easy to imagine she'd get herself pets that look human. Yeah, that look human-like. Okay. As I busy myself thinking of possible plans and outcomes, my mind keeps returning to the gimps. For instance, maybe they have some kind of ability that lets them detect us when we're within range. Or maybe they have some sort of animal instincts that let them sense our body heat. Or, maybe they have unusually good hearing, or an incredibly developed sense of smell. The possibilities extend beyond what I can even imagine. Shit! All of a sudden, the gimps change course. Is it just bad luck or something more? They started walking toward us. Marielle, get down! They're coming this way. We need to hide further back. She hurriedly scrambles away as I instruct. I follow her a moment later, listening closely for the gimps' movement. The sound of their footsteps is getting louder. The three are coming closer, little by little. Do they know we're here? Or are they just checking this spot while they're in the area? Either way, it's too late to try and run away now. Please, just keep walking away from us. I pray to myself as I stay as still and quiet as possible. Should the gimps find us, it'll be difficult to flee from them with Marielle in tow. I picture the worst case scenario, that I might have to leave her behind. The gimps are really close, but they're passing right by us. Have they not found us? Do they not know we're here? There's a slim chance they're simply trying to get us to lower our guard, but that doesn't seem to be the case. This is our chance! If we start moving the opposite direction, They'll put all the more distance between us. That's a pretty big risk, but we have no other option. Marielle, let's start slowly holding in... Hold on. Let's start slowly heading in the opposite direction. Her head tilts as she looks at me confused. I must have been too quiet if she couldn't hear me. With the enemy so close, though, I don't dare raise my voice any higher. I lean in closer until I'm whispering into her ear. Let's start slowly... Yikes! Out of nowhere, she lets out a shriek. I'm so startled by her outburst that I wind up shouting in surprise as well. Right afterwards, I hear one of the Gimps gasp. I look out in his direction. Our gazes meet. Shit! The Gimps start to close in on us before we can even start trying to escape them. If we don't act quickly, we will soon have no means of escape. Shit, what do I do? Even if I try, I can't flee and take Marielle with me. Okay. This is where we're going to end it here. This is the third save slot. No, there's no H this time, but there absolutely will be H next time because that seems to be all my main save slots, I believe. So, no H, no hentai. I can actually put this on YouTube so you guys get to see more of the story, YouTube fans. Again, if you want to see the hentai, which will be coming up soon, that's MGTOW.TV only. Same goes for you people on BitChute. So there you go. More closed game. And things are getting really interesting. Heated, a little slow with the dialogue, I know. But they are definitely trying to give us some action. And it is a very hostile environment. It's a very hostile game. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Enjoy this video when it comes out. And this will be the Grim Lord. And I am out.